Protests at New York's Columbia University. Similar demonstrations have taken place today at Yale and New Haven, and there have been at least a dozen arrests. On Wall Street, the Dow up 104 points. More details at srnnews.com.
As God calls us to serve Him, He calls us to study. Conservative Theological University provides studies on campus and online personalized distant education studies that lead to your certified degree. Earn your associate's, bachelor's, master's, or doctorate. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE today. Please leave your contact information for the staff to reach out to you. That's 1-800-GO-BIBLE for Conservative Theological University. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on three regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these three stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Mike Hill sitting in for Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Before the turn of the hour, we were discussing this article by Victor Davis Hanson on 11 ways that Democrats are destroying America. And we went through the first six. Number one, wipe out a 2,000-mile border. Run up $35 trillion in national debt. Appease or subsidize enemies like Iran and China. In a multiracial democracy, redefine identity only as one's tribal affiliation. Number five, recalibrate violent crimes, understandable. Cry of the heart expressions of social justice. Number six, emasculate the military by using non-meritocratic standards of race, gender, and sexual orientation to determine promotion and commendation. Number seven, reinvent the justice system to indict, bankrupt, convict, jail, and eliminate political opponents, exactly as what we are seeing with President Trump and others, but President Trump, of course, being the most prominent that we are seeing is happening. We have a few more to go through. If you would like to join in on the discussion with a comment or a question, the call-in number is 904-831-0917. That's 904-831-0917. Let's Face the Issues is brought to you in part by Tools for a Time. They can be reached at toolsforatime.com. That's toolsforatime.com. Some other items I hope we can get to today is this testimony before the House Ways and Means Committee by Phil Graham concerning President Trump's tax cut package, which is coming up for renewal. So I hope we can get to that, and also why Democrats will become energy realists. They have no choice. So I hope we can get to both of those articles today, but we'll see. Let's continue now with this article by Victor Davis Hansen of ways that Democrats are destroying America. We're seeing it before our very eyes, ladies and gentlemen. They are doing this intentionally. Number eight, encourage the fusion of the bureaucratic state with the electronic media to form a powerful force for political audit, surveillance, censorship, and coercion. They do this by marrying the FBI to Silicon Valley and hire its contractors to warp the news and hound supposed enemies of the people. No, ladies and gentlemen, there are some states who are pushing back on this right now, including Florida, where they are trying to make it illegal for these social media companies to target those who are campaigning. However, they need to go further, not just those who are campaigning, but those who express their political views. The Democrats don't care about our Constitution. They don't care about their oath of office, which they swear to support, protect, and defend. Our Constitution says that we have freedom of speech to criticize our government, to criticize others. Freedom of speech means you can say things that other people don't like. There is no such thing as hate speech as defined by those on the left, by the Democrats. The Democrats are trying to say if you say something or hurt someone else's feelings, that's hate speech and you should be punished for it. No, our First Amendment to the Constitution gives us freedom of speech to be able to say things even if it does hurt someone else's feelings. Now, in a civil society, we shouldn't say certain things. We shouldn't publicly say certain things that are harmful, but that means you're just being civil. You should not be punished by the government for doing so. Even if you do it, we shouldn't, but if you do it, you should not be punished by the government for doing so. But that is exactly what Democrats are doing. They encourage the fusion of the bureaucratic state with the electronic media to form a powerful force for political audit, surveillance, censorship, and coercion of not just those in politics, but everyday Americans. Number nine, this brilliant article written by Victor Davis Hansen on 11 ways Democrats are destroying America. Number nine, make war on affordable gasoline and natural gas. Substitute inefficient, unreliable, and expensive wind and solar power, even as energy prices nearly bankrupt the middle class. And we just saw recently, ladies and gentlemen, where Biden, and it's exactly what he's doing, Biden has said that more than 13 million acres of land in Alaska is off limits now to bringing in oil and gas. Okay, first of all, what on earth is the federal government doing controlling or owning 13 million acres in Alaska or in any other state? If you look out west, the western states, Rocky Mountains going west, the federal government owns the majority of that land when they are not supposed to. That's supposed to be owned by the states. And here is Biden, and this is exactly why they should not, because now we have bureaucrats in Washington, D.C., who are controlling the natural resources that belong to the states. And it was not supposed to be that way. Our founding fathers, when they wrote the Declaration of Independence and our Bill of Rights, The power was to belong to the people. The Bill of Rights states a lot of what the federal government was not to do. And part of what they were not to do, not what people could not do, not what citizens could not do, but what the government could not do. That's what the Bill of Rights did. By the way, we should have stopped after the first 10 amendments. We didn't need any other amendments after that. All of those amendments were already codified in our Declaration of Independence and our Constitution. We should have stopped right there. But at any rate, 11 ways that the Democrats are destroying America. Number 9, this is written by Victor Davis Hanson, was make war on affordable gasoline and natural gas. Number 10, marry late, but preferably not at all. Consider males toxic, especially boys. Have no children or as few as possible. Otherwise, ensure children they are entitled and must be sheltered. Raise them to have grievances against past generations and current norms. And oh, if by the way, I might add to that, murder in the womb any baby that you want to, even if it's just for convenience. Ladies and gentlemen, Democrats are destroying America. We need a population that replaces itself, and not with illegal aliens, but with our own citizens who are having children. We are seeing right now in America where they think that they have some sort of right to murder a baby in the womb. I applaud the Arizona Supreme Court justices who recently upheld a law that was written in Arizona in 1864 abolishing abortion, that you could not murder that preborn baby in the womb unless the life of the mother was at stake. And you should have heard the uproar against that, including from Republicans. Carrie Lake says she is going to do what she can to stop that and ensure that women have the right to murder babies in the womb. You have no right to murder babies in the womb. And as this article is stating, written by Victor Davis Hanson, number 10 was marry late, but preferably not at all, and don't have children, or as few as possible, and abort those that you don't want. That's not in the article. That was me who added that in. So here's this article written by Victor Davis Hanson, 11 ways Biden and his handlers are hell-bent on destroying America. Number 1, wipe out a 2,000-mile border. Number 2, run up $35 trillion in national debt. Number 3, appease or subsidize enemies like Iran and China. Number 4, in a multiracial democracy, redefine identity only as one's tribal affiliation. Number 5, recalibrate violent crime as understandable, cry of the heart expressions of social justice. Number 6, emasculate the military by using non-meritocratic standards of race, gender, and sexual orientation to determine promotion and commendation. Number 7, reinvent the justice system to indict, bankrupt, convict, jail, and eliminate political opponents. Number 8, encourage the fusion of the bureaucratic state with the electronic media to form a powerful force for political audit, surveillance, censorship, and coercion. Number 9, make war on affordable gasoline and natural gas. And number 10, marry late, but preferably not at all. And then number 11 ways Democrats are destroying America. Any one of those would have been sufficient, but the Democrats have 11 ways that they're doing. Number 11, turn world-class universities into indoctrination centers. Victor Davis Hanson hits the nail right on the head. Suspend the Bill of Rights on campuses. Train youth to graduate despising their own culture and civilization. Recruit foreign students from hostile nations to subsidize campus commissar bloat. Replace the curriculum with therapeutic propaganda. Ban the SAT and the ACT, and do not evaluate comparative high school GPAs. Ensure merit does not select the student body. Charge tuition higher than the rate of inflation, and bill the government when students default on their loans. The Democrats have done all 11 of these things, and it's amazing. Any one of them would have been enough, but they have done all 11. They are delusional, and they think that their socialist, globalist agendas are working and will save us. It will not. It will destroy us. The Democrats are raging nihilists who do not like the U.S. and deliberately want it destroyed as a service to the world. A ruined U.S. is preferable to a strong America. These are Democrats, ladies and gentlemen, in the United States right now. They are Jacobin revolutionaries who are intentionally erasing the old United States as a prerequisite for creating an entirely new America that will arise from the ashes with no trace or even memory of its past. They have no agenda. They are aimless fools and utter incompetence. These bunglers just wing it day to day in response to what their radical media, academic, and political masters dictate is necessary for them to retain power. They have no idea of the damage they are doing. I think they actually do, and they are doing it intentionally. There is cause for hope among this nihilist remaking of America. The people are fed up and will demand an accounting in the fall. Amen. Great article written by Victor Davis Hanson on 11 ways Biden and his handlers are destroying America. Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to join the discussion today, this is Mike Hill sitting in for Gene A. Youngblood on Let's Face the Issues. The call-in number with your comment or question is 904-831-0917. That's 904-831-0917. Here's an article that I found in American Enterprise Institute. Great organization. You can find some excellent conservative articles in there at AEI.org. That's the American Enterprise Institute, AEI.org. And they had an article in here written by Phil Graham. I didn't even know Phil Graham was still alive. But they had an article here written by Phil Graham on the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act and corporate tax rates. So Phil Graham came before the House Ways and Means Committee on April 11th to give this testimony. And he starts with, Chairman Smith, Ranking Member Neal, and members of the Ways and Means Committee, thank you for your invitation to testify today on the 2017 tax cuts. Any discussion of the merits of the 2017 tax cuts must begin with the corporate tax cut, which took America from a 35% corporate tax rate, the highest in the world, to 21%, the mid-range of global corporate tax rates. All available evidence suggests that the corporate tax cut and reductions in regulatory burden, which were implemented at the same time, caused real gross national products to rise by 3% in 2018, the highest growth rate in 13 years. Yet far more impressive than the 3% growth rate, median household income soared and the poverty rate plummeted. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, that was implemented by President Trump. And President Trump says when he gets reelected again, he's going to continue these tax cuts and lower them even more. Conversely, Biden has said he is going to eliminate these tax cuts and get us back to the highest corporate tax rate in the world again. We would only be behind China, a communist nation, as having the highest corporate tax rate in America. Biden said he's going to do that should he get reelected. The only way, in my opinion, he can get reelected is if they super cheat, even cheat more than they did last time. We have a caller here on the line, Kenneth. Kenneth, good to hear from you. What is your question?
Yes, look, you're so on point. And I'm going to tell you, I'm an elderly black man, and I've been a Democrat for years. And my ex-wife, my sister, and my brother-in-law were, you know, for generations. I said, look at history. The Democratic Party came from the South because they wanted to keep slavery. Now you're trying to put us back into slavery. Oh, no, but Trump, this, Trump, that. I said, when Trump was in office, I was good to go.
That's right.
And they just don't, I don't know, not just counting the black people, but everybody I talk to, it's like, I've been a Democrat so-and-so, you know, through the ages. I say I was too. But I woke up when Hillary Clinton was running for office. I said, oh no, I don't want another Clinton in the White House. Because they're trying to destroy, like you said, they're trying to destroy us. And make
exactly.
It a socialist society.
Kenneth. You're exactly right. You know, and we have, as you say, so many black Americans who have been Democrats for generations since the 60s. You know, before the 60s, the vast majority of blacks were Republican. But then they changed in the 1960s. When Dr. Martin Luther King had a discussion with Barry Goldwater at the time, who was a presidential candidate, and Barry Goldwater would not support the Civil Rights Act because he believed it was a state issue and not a federal issue, that it should be decided at the state level. And of course, Barry Goldwater was running as a Republican. Because of that disagreement that Martin Luther King had with Barry Goldwater, he made that plain, he made it known, and instead switched to the Democrat Party. And because Martin Luther King was so revered by not only the black community, but by many Americans, that the black community en masse switched to the Democrat Party. Switch to the Democrat Party, and we are seeing the ill effects of that ever since then, Kenneth, where the family, the black family has been decimated. There are more black families on social programs than any other. They are still in poverty, much more so than they were pro rata before they became Democrats. The black family was intact. They had jobs. They were being prosperous. They were continuing on. And then the Democrats got a hold of them, put them on subsidized welfare, and look at the state of the black community now. What I would say to those is, look, you've tried being a Democrat this long. Where has it gotten you? Why don't you at least give Republicans a chance?
And can I say this to you?
Yes, please.
Okay. I ask a lot of, especially young people, and older people, and they think that Abraham Lincoln was a Democrat.
No, Abraham Lincoln was a Republican.
Yes, I know. That's what I'm saying. But they think he was a Democrat.
Well, that's a product of our school system, Kenneth, if they were to think such a thing. Lincoln was a Republican. The Republican Party was started for the purpose of abolishing slavery in America.
Right. That's what I tell them. I said, you got to learn your history.
Exactly.
Kenneth, you don't learn it,
thank
you're
you.
Doing it with
you. Kenneth, thank you for calling in. Really do appreciate it. Let's continue with this article by Phil Graham. It was written by, it was placed in the publication American Enterprise Institute, and he's talking about the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act and corporate tax rate. And here's Phil Graham before the Tax Ways and Means Committee. As a longtime student of American tax policy and a former member of the Senate Finance Committee, I was astonished at the unexpected depth and breadth of the benefits that flowed from the 2017 corporate tax cut. It shouldn't have astonished you. You should have expected it. Real median household income surged by a record $5,220, almost 50% larger than the next highest income gain, and 11 times the average annual gain since 1967. The poverty rate plummeted by most in half a century, hitting a new all-time low. No tax change or spending increase in over 50 years delivered so great an impact on median income and poverty. Obviously, the owners of American public companies benefited as the Dow, the S&P 500, and NASDAQ surged in 2017 in anticipation of the tax cuts, and in 2018 and 2019 in response to the tax cuts. But who are these owners? According to tax notes, 72% of the value of all domestically held stocks are owned by pension plans, 401ks, individual retirement accounts, and charitable organizations are held by life insurance companies to fund annuities and death benefits. Ladies and gentlemen, we must continue with this Tax Cuts and Jobs Act that President Trump put in place, and that means we need to vote for President Trump again in 2024. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been Mike Hill sitting in for Dr. Jean A. Youngblood on Let's Face the Issues. Have a blessed day.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located 1 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9.